buckle your seatbelt. It's time for another episode of the Prepper Recon Podcast. I've personally been buying gold and silver from JM Bullion for over 2 years. They offer the best prices over spot that I can find, and I've never had a problem with an order. If you're looking to trade in some of your fiat paper for real money, check out jmbullion.com today.
Ready-Made Resources is a trusted name in the prepper community because they've been around for 18 years. They offer great prices on night vision, water filtration, long-term storage food, solar energy components, and provide free technical service. Get ready for an uncertain future at readymaderesources.com. Hey, preppers and patriots. I want to talk a little bit today about the signals that are popping up that could be indicating that we're about to take another major downturn in the markets. And it's been a little while since I did a reader mailbag, so that's also one of the things that we'll be doing today. And they kind of tie in together because I've gotten multiple emails wanting to know what I thought about retirement funds, whether I thought people should keep their 401ks or if they should cash out the precious metals, and generally how I think people should position themselves to endure the inevitable economic storm. So after I've addressed the threats, I'll talk a little bit about what I do personally to prepare for a financial crisis. But first, I've got a big announcement. Many of you may already know I have a new book out. It's The Days of Elijah, Book One, Apocalypse. And most of you are probably aware that this is the long-awaited sequel to the Days of Noah series. Unless you've been following the blog real close, or unless you're on the email list, you might not know what I'm getting ready to tell you. And if you want to get on the email list so you're up to date anytime we have sales on books or IFACs, or if you want to be alerted when new books come out, you can get on the Prepper Recon email list by signing up for the free 7-step survival plan. And you can access that by clicking the free 7-step survival plan banner at the top of the blog on the PrepperRecon.com homepage. So what's the big secret? I'm going to be releasing the audiobook version of The Days of Elijah in its entirety as podcast episodes on PrepperRecon.com. Each Friday, I'll release a new chapter of the post-apocalyptic thriller about the end times in America. For fans of my audiobooks, Kevin Pierce will be reading the story of Everett and Courtney as they fight to survive the gauntlet of destruction known as the Great Tribulation. And while the audiobook episodes are being played, which will probably be October, November, and December, those will be coming out on Fridays. So that's going to be in place of the regular Faith and Freedom Friday episodes that we've been playing. Of course, Pastor Mike Spaulding from Calvary Chapel, Lima, Ohio, has been providing those for us, and he's been doing a really, really great job. And after the audiobook episodes have all aired, we'll go back to the Faith and Freedom Friday episodes with Pastor Mike's teachings. And of course, we'll still be doing the Sunday Prepper Bible Study every Sunday on PrepperRecon.com. So you'll still be getting some content there for your spiritual preparedness. But my books are pretty chock full of spiritual content as it is. There's quite a few biblical principles in there. Most of the chapters start with a Bible verse. So you'll still be getting a good healthy dose of spiritual preparedness material, probably more than some folks get at church. So hopefully you'll still enjoy that. And obviously, if you've ever read the reviews for my books on Amazon, you know that a lot of folks don't really enjoy that, and they really don't want to hear any Christian content mixed into their prepper fiction. And that's okay, because there's plenty of other writers out there for them. But this is what God's called me to do, and so I'm going to be faithful and keep writing in the way that God's led me to write. So And some of those reviews even come from Christians, and it's funny because we had a string there for a while. I think it was Behold Darkness and Sorrow. I think I had 3 reviews in a row that said I'm a Christian, but you know, it was just too much spiritual content for them. Which, you know, these Christian butts that I call them, you know, Paul said that we're all one body, and of course we have the eyes, and you know, some people are the tongue, some people are the hands of Christ, and I guess it's important to have that Christian butt in there as well. So the Christian butts, they they are very offended by having so much spiritual content in a fiction book. But I think that they probably readily accept profanity and the use of God's name as a swear word and graphic sex scenes in their fiction. But just not a whole lot of religious stuff. They don't really want to tolerate that. But back to this topic, because I don't want to get off on a rabbit trail there. For the audiobooks fans, Kevin Pierce will be reading the story of Everett and Courtney as they fight to survive the gauntlet of destruction known as the Great Tribulation. And I know some folks aren't going to want to wait to listen to the book over the course of the next 3 months. So if you prefer to listen to the entire book commercial free without interruption, you can still purchase the book. And unlike it's been in the past where we had to wait an extra 3 weeks after the Kindle came out before the audiobook was released. The audiobook is actually available right now, and you'll be able to go to the show notes from today, and I've got a clickable banner right there right now that you can purchase it right away. And due to rights conflicts with Audible.com concerning airing the book on PrepperRecon.com, it won't be available on Audible until after all the episodes have aired. So until then, I'm offering the audiobook, which is performed by Kevin Pierce, in the same high-quality MP3 format that you would get it from for Audible. These are the exact same files that are going to be uploaded to Audible after all the episodes have aired. And I'm selling them directly through PrepperRecon.com, and I'm selling them at a reduced price of $11.95, which, if you're an Audible member, your one book a month is $14.95 if you're a member. And then if you're just buying them a la carte, I think they usually come out to about $17.95. So it's a big savings either way, whether you're an Audible member and you're not having to use your membership for it, or whether you're buying those a la carte from Audible, it's an even bigger savings. And like I said, same high quality file. And The Days of Elijah is a standalone series. So if you haven't read The Days of Noah, you'll still enjoy it. But if you want a better understanding of how Courtney and Everett have arrived at the precipice of the Great Tribulation, you can check out The Days of Noah. And if you've never used Audible before, the first book is on the house when you sign up for their free trial offer. And for the folks who prefer paperback or Kindle, we'll have links in today's show notes also to buy The Days of Elijah from Amazon.com. So let's get into today's show topic. The signal that I want to look at is the plateau and the subsequent volatility of the market itself. Barring a couple major hiccups like the Brexit and the 1,000-point drop last August, the markets have been raging full steam ahead since 2009. Through the spring, we watched as the Dow shot higher and higher, finally breaking through 18,000 in April. It retreated temporarily, but was back above 18,000 in July. It continued on up to around 18,500, 18,600, and then it kind of plateaued. And it hasn't had any upward momentum to speak of for the past 4 months. On the contrary, we've seen some significant volatility. Single-day sell-offs as high as 3% on the Dow. And that's not good. Let's just look at the underlying reason the market has hit such highs, and I think it's going to help us to understand why this extreme volatility is in the market and how it's going to affect it going forward. Since 2009, the Fed has cut rates to near zero. The simple fact that they failed to take rates back to normal over the past 7 years tells us that they know that the economy doesn't have the strength to stand on its own two legs. So let's go ahead and get that healthy economy fallacy off the table for being a reason that the market has hit new highs. The Fed has an exchange stabilization fund, which can be used to purchase derivatives to temporarily prop up the markets when we have events like the 1,000-point sell-off, or if we have events like we saw after Brexit, where there was a major market volatility. The Pledge Protection Team uses this fund to break severe downward momentum. I think this explains why we didn't see massive panic following those two events. But is that enough in and of itself to push markets to new highs? I don't really think so. I believe that can be attributed to two factors. Number one, the Fed has nearly doubled the money supply since the beginning of the housing crisis. Prior to the crisis in 2008, the M2 money supply was just over $7 trillion. We now sit above $13 trillion. So where does an extra $6 trillion go when you dump it into an economy with a fixed amount of goods and services? One place it ends up is price inflation. Since there's more money chasing the same amount of goods and services, prices are going to go up. The stock market is essentially just a set of prices. And with all of that extra money sloshing around in the system, it pushes up prices of everything, including stocks. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. Katie Armor offers affordable body armor, including level 3 trauma plates made of AR-500 steel. They can endure multiple rounds from pistols and rifles up to 7.62 NATO. Order today from katiearmor.com. That's CATIArmor.com.
After a massive wave of disappearances, 26-year-old CIA analyst Everett Carroll finally believes what he's been told about the biblical prophecy of the rapture. Global currencies have collapsed, famine and plague have claimed the lives of millions, and the world has crumbled into chaos. Everett is surprised when he finds out that Elijah, the messianic Jewish hermit who lives on the mountain above their retreat, did not disappear along with the rest of the Christians. As Elijah helps Everett and Courtney understand the terrible times that are decreed unto the world in the coming judgments, they realize that they'll have to do everything they can to survive the gauntlet of destruction known as the Great Tribulation. Seven seals, seven trumpets, and seven vials of God's wrath are about to be poured out upon the earth, and woe to the inhabitants thereof. Buy your copy of The Days of Elijah, Book 1, Apocalypse, by best-selling author Mark Goodwin, in paperback or Kindle edition from Amazon.com today.
The second factor that I think is pushing markets higher is a little bit more insidious, and it creates the most volatility. With rates being so low, you have retirees, insurance companies, retirement funds, and pension funds that can no longer continue to do business as usual. They've all made their plans on what's called modern portfolio theory. And this assumes being able to make low-risk investments on fixed-income products that have a set amount of interest return. So these are things like CDs, government bonds, municipals, things like that, that don't really have a whole lot of risk and kick off a fair amount of income through interest payments. Obviously, when there's no interest, they have to rethink their strategy, all of those entities. When the interest income vanishes because of Fed policy, they have to chase gains in the equities markets. And none of these entities belong there. Retirees especially don't belong in equities markets because it's just way too risky for somebody that's depending on that money to be there for them to live out the rest of their retirement. Pension funds, they've made promises to people that they're going to make set amount of payouts throughout the rest of their life, and they don't belong in high risk investments. Insurance companies, you know, they have a margin, you know, they have actuaries that set how much money they can expect to make with a certain amount of income coming in from premiums and how much they're expecting to pay out in losses. So they're really depending on interest income for their margin to turn a profit. So when that goes away and they have to step into risky assets, their entire business model is at risk at that point. And all of this means that if there is a panic sell-off, they're all going to rush for the exit at the same time. And believe me, the carnage is not going to be equally distributed. The big insurance companies and pension funds who watch the markets like a hawk, those are the guys that are going to get out first, leaving the individual retiree trapped. But getting out first doesn't necessarily mean they're going to survive. It's very likely that when we see the next stampede for the door, several insurance companies and pension funds are going to go belly up. So what do you do? How do you protect yourself? Let me start out by saying I'm not a financial advisor, so I'm only going to talk about what I do personally. Being self-employed, I have no employer donating contributions to my retirement. Therefore, I haven't committed any capital to my Roth IRA since the last crash. Yes, I've missed out on the gains, but I've also slept better. So that's a trade-off that I'm more than willing to take. And if I had an employer matching my contributions, I'd contribute up to the match limit because that's free money. And the market has to essentially get cut in half before you even start to lose money, even one nickel of your own money, because everything they contribute, that's money that you wouldn't have had you not participated. So if they're matching you a dollar for every dollar that you put in, then you've automatically doubled your money just by taking the match. So, you know, if that's your position and you have an employer giving you money, I would definitely do that. I would definitely take that. And then I would get the safest, least riskiest thing that had the least payout, that was essentially just sitting there, in government bonds or whatever, even if it wasn't earning any interest at all. And I would take that safest thing because, I think that all this volatility is going to blow up sooner or later. And then besides the volatility factor, another reason that we don't participate in the markets anymore is that we found out most every fund has, the larger, blue chip stocks in there. So the Apples and the Googles and all of those, most every fund that you can find has those companies in it. And we don't want to be partnered with Apple or Google or any of these companies because most every single one of them has diversity programs, which basically will take a Christian, put him in a room and tell him that if you say anything about homosexuality being a sin, you'll be fired. And so that's what diversity training is that you're not allowed to speak your mind because the corporate culture at that company overrides what the Bible says. So we don't agree with that. We don't want to be part owners in any company like that. So we just have nothing to do with it. We were able to do a whole lot of research and find a very few handful of companies that didn't participate in diversity training. One of them was ExxonMobil. Later on, we came to find out that ExxonMobil was a corporate partner of the Council on Foreign Relations. So now they're involved in global government. So that's just as bad. we want nothing to do with that either. So besides all the risk and besides being tied to these companies that just don't align with our morals, it's just a risky thing, and it's a big headache, and you end up losing a lot of sleep. And so we don't want anything to do with it. We do believe in keeping a percentage of our liquid assets in physical precious metals. It's certainly nowhere near 100%, not even 50%, probably more like 10%. And I did an entire show on that back in August. So you can go to PrepperRecon.com and you can click the podcast archives tab at the top of the homepage if you'd like to go back and listen to that show. Like I said, I think that was back in August. So you can just scroll down the page. You should be able to find that pretty easily. And I do think you should have some cash outside of the banking system. Perhaps split it up between a safe and an underground cash tube. But you don't want everything in your house either, because in the event of a home invasion, you'll lose it all. So we keep some cash in a traditional bank for bills and such in a checking account. And then we keep probably the lion's share of it in a local credit union, which may or may not be insulated from a major event or the FDIC banks to close the doors for an indefinite amount of time. Credit unions are insured by NCUA rather than the FDIC, And that doesn't really mean much, but they typically don't have the derivatives exposure that the larger banks have. And in the event of a crisis, as a depositor, you fall in the very back of the line of creditors who are going to be fighting over all the scraps. After the 2009 crash, we bought a rental property which increased in value over the next 5 years, and we sold that, and we did okay on that. And if we see another major sell-off in the real estate market, we might get back in and try that again. For now, we're just sitting tight. In a zero interest rate environment, paying off debt offers you your best rate of return. If you own your house and your automobile, and that's all free and clear, then at least you're not sinking money into interest when you're not earning any in the bank. So that's one of the best payoffs. And the trend you'll see in my plan is diversification, meaning we don't keep all of our eggs in one basket, and we really minimize risk. And of course, we have no exposure to the market at all, no direct exposure anyway. And the best possible retirement plan you can have is giving to God. Jesus said, "Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break in nor steal." And additionally, it's not subject to market volatility. And finally, shore up your preps. A box of military-grade ammo in a metal ammo can will last a lifetime. Long-term storage food will be good years from now. Guns hold their value as long as you keep them clean and rust-free. Most medical supplies have a very long shelf life. And all the self-sufficiency skills you can learn, they can't be stolen, and you can't lose them as long as you have your mind. And take care of your body. Eat good. Get exercise. And shed bad habits. Bad habits tend to deteriorate your health. That costs you money. They shorten your life expectancy, which shortens the amount of time that you have to earn money. And they just generally deteriorate your quality of life. So getting rid of bad habits is just a really, really good long-term strategy for a good quality of life. And all of this may not be the investment advice you were looking for, but it works for us. We're happy, we're content, and we're fairly well prepared. So if that's enough for you and you don't need $10 million, a boat, or four homes, our strategy might work for you too. So I hope this has been helpful and informative, and God bless and happy prepping. If you're near Cincinnati, start making plans to come see me at the Cincy Preparedness Expo at the Sharonville Convention Center on October 15th and 16th. Besides all of the fantastic prepper gear available, it's a great place to learn vital survival skills. And make sure you stop by the Prepper Recon booth to say hi. Check out CincyPreparednessExpo.com for tickets and information.